Just remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. Good to have Miss Nora's family with us today as well. Amen. Appreciate them being here. And then all of you, good to have Catherine, amen, and Josh with us today. Praise the Lord. And good to have each of you here. And we've got a lot to be in prayer about. I'm glad we got a God that can answer prayer. I know, I guess you heard, I didn't hear about it. We traveled all last night. We got in about 1 o'clock this morning and actually got here to the church about 12:30 and then got home around a little bit before 1, but around that time frame. And I didn't listen to any news or anything, but coming in this morning, I heard them telling about Iran sending all those missiles to Israel. And I would say that Iran will live to regret that. Amen. Because Israel will retaliate. Right. They will. And because God will retaliate. I believe that. Amen. So pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the nation of Israel. And pray for our world. It's a powder keg. It's a powder keg. And pray that God would help in these things. All right. Luke chapter number 7, and I'm going to start reading verse number 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. I thought I knew what I was going to preach Friday night. I knew I was going to be one of the preachers Friday night there in Oklahoma City. And I thought I knew what I was going to preach when I got there. And the Lord changed it on me and gave me this text and just a thought. And so I preached it, didn't have it all together, and I'm not sure that I still got it all together, but I worked on a little bit more yesterday and this morning, and so hope that it'll be a blessing to you and be helpful to you. Luke chapter number 7, verse 36, we'll read to the end of the chapter. Let's read it responsibly together. The Bible said, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hast anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. We'll stop reading there and go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Doug Thompson, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Please help, Lord. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. I want to focus on verse number 45, that first phrase, "Thou gavest me no kiss." Thou gavest me no kiss. I read something last week that Leonard Ravenhill said, and he made that statement. He said he wondered how often the Lord would say that to his disciples, "Thou gavest me no kiss." And so I got to thinking about that, and God worked this thought up in my mind and gave me this message that I'm going to try to preach today if I can. This is a familiar story. Story of this man, Simon the Pharisee. Now, there's different accounts of women, or maybe the same woman. We don't know. This lady's not named here. Other places, we do know that Mary anointed the feet of Jesus and put that broke that alabaster box and poured that ointment upon Jesus. We know that she anointed his head. We know that she anointed his feet. We know there's multiple times that it looks like this happened. One of those accounts is here in Luke 7, whether it's her or not, this lady, I believe it probably was her, this lady is in the house of Simon the Pharisee. In another account, they're in the house of Simon the leper. And some people believe that's the same person, and I know I've said this before, but I want to reiterate it. I don't believe it's the same house. I don't believe it's the same person. Maybe the same woman, but not Simon. Simon the leper, I don't believe, is Simon the Pharisee. Here's why. Because if Jesus went into a leper's house, if a leper could even be in his house, he's been healed. Something has happened to him that's changed his life. And that wouldn't make a man a Pharisee. I don't believe that a man that's been healed by the Lord, a man that's been touched by the Lord, would later on become a Pharisee. They'd be looking down his nose at some woman that needs some help. So I believe this is a whole different character. Now, I noticed something else just in reading this today. I noticed that in this text, when this woman came, look at verse number 39. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet." So it tells you right there, this is an unbelieving Pharisee. By the way, that's what Pharisees are. People may act Pharisaical, but a real Pharisee is a lost religious hypocrite. That's what a real Pharisee is. This man's very religious, but he doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for he is a sinner." I want to say this to Simon. If Simon was a believer, he would have known who this man is that's letting this woman touch him. Amen. Amen. He would have known that this man can help sinners. Amen. And came to seek and to save that which is lost. Yes. Amen. So we see that he thought Jesus didn't know, when in reality, he didn't know. And so in this familiar story, he makes that statement, "Thou gavest me no kiss." There's a lot of levels in this story, levels of instruction. This is a story of love. This is a story of grace. This is a story of forgiveness. This is a story of humility. It's also a story of pride and arrogance and unbelief. And so when I saw this, I got to thinking about these things. First of all, this religious man desired, it said there in the beginning of that, verse number 36, desired him that he would eat with him. He desired to have Jesus in his house. Other words, it looks like this. This is what a lot of unbelievers want, by the way. A lot of unbelievers want Jesus on their grounds. They want Jesus in their territory. Right. Not that they're willing to go to him. They want him to come to them. And I'm glad God does make house calls. Amen. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is interested in dealing with sinners. He ate with sinners because he's concerned about sinners. Amen. But you don't get God on your level. You don't get God on your grounds. You got to acknowledge him for who he is. And he never did. This man never did do that. Though he desired to have Jesus in his house, he desired to have Jesus there, yet he didn't do it to receive something from Jesus. He did that probably to try to impress the Lord. I wonder if he might not have tried to impress the Lord with all his religious books. Look at all the religious books I've got. Look at all the religious relics I've got in my house. All these symbols and all these things that I've got that maybe in his house. Yet he gave him no kiss. He didn't greet him as a friend. You remember when Judas kissed the Lord? Jesus said, "Friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss?" What Jesus was saying to him was that kiss is saying that you're my friend, but you're not my friend. Judas didn't come to befriend him. He came to betray him. Right. But the idea was, and in that culture in particular, they would greet one another with a kiss. Paul even said that in Romans chapter 16 that we dealt with in that study. And one of the preachers preached on that yesterday also as well. A young man preached on that about greet one another with a holy kiss. There is to be a camaraderie. There is to be a friendship. There's to be a companionship. There's to be compassion among one another when we're the people of God. Amen. But this man didn't treat the Lord that way. He didn't see the Lord as a friend. He didn't see the Lord as someone that he had a relationship with. And so I imagine this man may have talked to the Lord about all of his studies, all the things that he had thought about, maybe even all of his sermons. If he is a Pharisee that preached in the synagogue, maybe he talked to him about the songs that he had sung, or maybe even that he had written, and all those religious deeds that he had done. But none of that impressed the Lord, because this man's an unbeliever. He gave him no kiss. Jesus told this man a parable about two debtors and a creditor. I want you to look at it there with me, if you will, in verse number 41. We'll back up to 40 because you see the Lord speaking. And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." Now here's the parable. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? I'm not going to go into Simon's answer. I just want to think about the story that Jesus told this man. Here's what I want you to notice. Jesus did not come into that Pharisee's house to condemn him. He came not into the world to condemn the world. They're condemned already. That Pharisee was condemned already. Christ was willing to go into his house with the intent to convert him. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You say, "I don't believe he ever intended to." Then why did he come to seek and to save if he never intended to? He was willing to save sinners. He's willing for sinners to hear the gospel. He's willing for sinners to meet the Savior. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Notice in our story, Jesus tells it, well, let me back up. This man is full of himself, and it looks like all he can see is himself. And then he sees this sinful woman come in, and he doesn't notice the Lord. He didn't kiss the Lord. He notices the sinner. Sometimes we go to church, by the way, we notice sinners. We fail to see the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Who'd you come to see? Praise, man. Amen. We ought to come to see the Lord. But Jesus said to this man, first thing, he said there was a certain creditor. He didn't want him to notice the debtors first. He wanted him to notice the creditor first. He wanted that man to know there's somebody in that house more important than that sinner woman. Amen. There's somebody in that house more important than the man that owned the house. That is the man that everything's owed to. The creditor, the man that's got it all, the man that's willing to loan, the man that's willing to give, the man that's willing to forgive. Amen. And so he starts off that story there in, is it verse 41? He starts off that story and he says, yeah, there was a certain creditor. But then he wants him not only to notice there's a creditor in the house, but he wants him to notice there's two debtors. It ain't just this woman. It ain't just this woman that's a debtor. He wants them to notice these debtors are on different levels. One owes a lot and the other owes a little. But they're both debtors. He also wants them to notice neither one of them has anything to pay. And it doesn't matter if you owe a lot or you owe a little. If you don't have anything to pay, you're not able to pay your debt. Amen. And so Jesus wanted this man to notice there is a creditor in the house. He wanted this man to notice there are two debtors in the house. And then he wanted him to know that this creditor could frankly forgive them both. That, underline that word, both. Amen. He, in this story, Jesus said to this woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. But he could have forgiven them both if they'd both believe. If they'd both believe. Amen. He wanted that man to recognize that he could frankly forgive them both. He wanted that man to realize Jesus was able to forgive and that Jesus was willing to forgive them both. Amen. Amen. He frankly forgave them. I looked at the word up frankly in the Strong's course. You ought to look it up. You know how many times that's in your King James Bible? One time. Right here it is. But that word frankly forgive is, when you look up the word frankly, it doesn't have its own Strong's concordance number. Because frankly forgive is one Greek word. That word, frankly forgive, is found, I forgot how many times in the Bible, several times. I didn't write it down, but several times in the New Testament. And it's translated things like this. It talks about where God freely forgave them. Amen. It talks about God forgiving them freely. It talks about God forgiving them with no strings attached. That's the idea. When he frankly forgave them, he didn't just give them partial forgiveness. He gave them total forgiveness. Amen. Aren't you glad when Jesus saved you, he didn't say, I'll save you from the least of the things you did, or I'll save you from the worst. No, he saved you from all sin. Amen. Amen. And we can rejoice in that he saves from all sin. Amen. Now, Jesus wanted this man to know that these two debtors owed everything to that creditor. Because that creditor had frankly forgiven them both. I want to ask you a question. Have you noticed the creditor today? Have you noticed the Lord? Or have you just noticed other people in the building? Have you thought about the fact that you were a debtor as well as they are? Amen. Matter of fact, I said this Friday night there, and I think he's right. Sometimes we come to church and we say, boy, thank God there's sinners here today. Maybe we're thinking about visitors. They're sinners here today. Well, did you know if them people hadn't come, they still probably would have been sinners here today. Amen. If nobody came but me and you, they'd probably be sinners here today. Isn't that right? Have we noticed the debtors? Have we noticed the forgiveness? I mean, just ask a question. Have we kissed the Lord today? Have we kissed Him? Have we loved Him? Have we honored Him? Have we bowed before Him? Have we worshiped Him? We talk about worship. By the way, we don't have to have a piano to worship. They don't have pianos in heaven. Best I know, they don't have pianos in heaven. But the angels worship Him all the time. Amen. Amen. They was worshiping before they made pianos. Right? Well, we're out of order. You know, we got people that's missing, and listen, we don't have to have others here to worship Him. Matter of fact, some of your best worship will be when you get alone with God and you just bow before Him, recognize Him as all in all. Amen. You can worship Him in that category. That's how it ought to be, by the way. That's how it ought to be. Have we kissed Him today? Have you kissed Him this week? How long has it been since you kissed the Lord? Amen. Do we even notice Him in the midst? So I want to think about that. When I thought about this story, I thought about another account in John chapter 4, Jesus talking with a woman. Turn over there, if you will, John chapter 4, Jesus talking to that woman at the well. Interesting to me, several things in these accounts, interesting. It's amazing to me how God gives us the Gospels, four of them. Three of them are called the Synoptic Gospels because they tell almost the same stories. You know how many times that story of Simon the Pharisee's house with that woman and Jesus talking about he frankly forgave them? You know how many times that story is told? Only once. Only Luke told us that. You know how many times the story of the Samaritan woman's told? Only once. Only John told us that. I thank God that those men wrote what God told them to write, or we'd never have known these accounts about these women. Amen. We'd have never even known about that. But John tells us this story of this woman at the well. We call her the Samaritan woman. All right? Jesus goes to talking to her, and he introduces the subject. He's trying to bring her to the Lord and bring her to Christ. And she starts talking up about worship. By the way, she's acting real religious. Jesus said, go call your husband. He brought up her sin, by the way. You can't get help unless you recognize your sin. Amen. I mean, you don't get cured till you recognize your case. Right. So Jesus said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, well, you said that right. You've had five, and the fellow you shacked up with, that's paraphrase, fellow you shacked up with is not even your husband. Right. And he said, you said that right. Why'd he do that? He wasn't trying to slap her around. He was trying to get her to recognize her need and recognize he knew more about her than she thought he did. And she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. You know things. That's what she said. You know things. And so she starts talking religious. In verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She starts bringing in a religious controversy. Isn't it funny how sinners will do that? Ask them, are you saved? They'll say, let me ask you a question. Where did Cain get his wife? Who cares where Cain got his wife? Where are you going to spend eternity? Amen. And I've said this before. The Bible don't tell us where Cain got his wife. It don't tell me where you got yours. You know why? Because that don't mean a whole lot, does. But it tells me about heaven, and it tells me about hell, and it tells me about sin, and it tells me about Christ's blood that washes sins away. That's what we ought to focus on. Amen. So when sinners try to divert you with some controversy, Jesus didn't let it divert him. Amen. I mean, just read on. She said, you say Jerusalem's place we ought to worship. All right. Jesus, verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. That's who she's got to believe, by the way. Believe me, the hour cometh and now is when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know what he said to her? He's the way to the Father. They're not worshiping the Father even at Jerusalem. They're sacrificing them animals. They're going through all their Old Testament ritual, but they're not worshiping the Father because they don't know the Lord. If you don't come through Jesus, you don't get to the Father. That's what he's saying to her. Not in this mountain, neither at Jerusalem. Amen. Then he says, verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. She's got ignorant religion. Now, again, he's not trying to beat her up. He's trying to lead her. He's trying to help her. Ye worship, you know not what. We know, as a Jew, he's talking, what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. Look at verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers, let me find my place again, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Amen. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, all that was introduction. To get to this point, Jesus said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Why should the Father need to seek people to worship him as good as he is? Why wouldn't people be beating down the doors to get in to worship him? Why wouldn't people be lined up to get to work? Why wouldn't they pay to get a ticket or pay to get a seat to be able to get in and worship the Lord Jesus? They'll pay to get a seat to worship what, Taylor Swift. Yeah, they'll pay to get a ticket to worship whoever they want to worship. Why don't they come to worship the Lord? I'll tell you why. They don't believe him. They don't know him. They don't recognize him. God the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now he said there's two ways to worship. Those are my 2 points. They that worship him must worship him. First of all, in spirit. And second of all, in truth. And so I'm going to preach these 2 points. First of all, worship him in spirit, not in works only. Worship him in spirit, not in works only. See, here's a religious man, got all these religious works, but he ain't worshiping the Father. Because he's not even worshiping the Son. He's not loving the Father. He's not loving the Son. He's not believing the Son. Amen. He's got, and by the way, if we're not careful, we'll think because we read all these religious books, it's going to make us spiritual. Can I tell you, even reading the Bible won't make you spiritual. unless you come to Christ. You must be born again. Amen. Amen. It's not what you know that makes you spiritual. It's how much you love. Because spirituality is in the heart. Spirituality is not in the clothes you wear. Amen. If it was, some people wouldn't have much spirituality. They don't. But in reality, it's not in what you put on. It's what's on the inside. How much do you love the Lord? How much do you honor Him? Amen. Not in works only. We got to worship Him in spirit. And by the way, that is priority. Worship Him in spirit. More than He wants you working for Him, He wants you loving on Him. Amen. By the way, every marriage is the same way. Men, your wife, she needs you to work and provide for the family, and you need to do that. I understand that. But she don't want you running around on her while you're working. She wants you to love her. Love her. Amen. Love her and work for her. I understand that. But not just get overrun with the work idea. She needs you to love her. Amen. I've said this before. I talked to a man sometime recently. I'll be careful how I say it because I know we're on the radio. Talked to a man here in town. And this is what he said to me. He said, I've been married either four or five times. I don't remember now. Four times my wife said. He said, I've been married four times. He said, every wife I've ever had has cheated on me. He said, I've never cheated on one yet. He said, matter of fact, all I ever do is work and fish. That's what he said. And my wife said, maybe he ought to figure one of them women want a husband. Yeah. They don't just want a fisherman or a worker. I'm not fussing at you for working and fishing, but if you're married, you ought to love your wife. Say amen right there, ladies. Amen. And if you're a Christian, you ought to love the Lord. And so he said he wants us to love him in spirit, not just in works only. Amen. It's not just what we do. It's how much we love. Amen. Because you can read the Bible, you can pray, you can sing, you can go to church, you can even give an offering and never give him a kiss. Amen. Never recognize the greatness and the goodness of our Lord. Looking at Him in the beauty of His holiness. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we're so busy. That's why we don't give Him a kiss. We're just too busy to give Him a kiss. He don't just want us to be busy. He wants us to love on Him. The priority again is God wants our heart. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now let me just say something real quick. Sometimes what we call worship is really what we enjoy. It's a soulish, it's a feeling, it's an emotional worship that we're worshiping. It's not really spiritual. Right? Spiritual is when we're wanting to honor Him rather than us be honored. Rather than us feel good, we want Him to feel good. Amen. Amen. Rather than us get the spotlight, we want Him to get the spotlight. I must decrease, but He must increase. Amen. That ought to be our goal. That ought to be the love of our heart, the goal of our life. Amen. Amen. And so I'll just say it this way and move on. God is not overly interested in the kind of car you drove up to church in. God's not overly interested in the kind of clothing you're wearing. I think you understand what I believe about clothing. But God's not overly concerned about that. God's not overly concerned about the jewels you may have on or in your possession. But He is interested in your heart. Amen. Very much concerned about your heart. Amen. A lot of people can put on a suit and tie and carry a King James Bible and their heart be far from the Lord. People can put on a good dress. I mean a modest dress. Look neat, nice. And her heart be far from the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, He's wanting our heart. We came in this morning. What did we come for? Did we come to give Him a kiss? Did we come to love Him? Did we come to honor Him? I ask you this. What will you remember about this service? Will you remember the singers? Or a song? Or the sermon, or the preacher. What will you remember? We ought to come to meet with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Somebody said this, and I thought this was really good. So, somebody said, a man that is dying of thirst, a man that is desperately thirsty, if you give him a good, cool drink of water, he don't care if that is glass or ceramic or gold or silver. He's not interested in the vessel. He's interested in the water. That's what he's thirsting for. Amen. When we come in the house of God, we ought not be so really prejudiced about what we're wearing and what everybody's doing. We ought to come in to worship him. Amen. We get preoccupied. That's the word I was looking at. We get preoccupied about all these other things. Now, I know we got to deal with it, and we do deal with it at times. Amen. I'm talking about how you dress, and how that's got to be dealt with, especially in this society. Amen. Used to be, by the way. I mean, it wasn't too many generations ago. Everybody knew that women dress different than men do. Matter of fact, these transgenders still know that, because if a man wants to become a woman, he'll put on a dress every time. Wonder why? Does it make any sense? Well, again, that's not my message, but we get preoccupied sometimes with that rather than noticing the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we come in, we get preoccupied with others. You've heard me say this before. I believe it's right. I believe you could come in the house, that front row could be full of devils. It ain't full of devils this morning. Only got one on. No, I'm kidding. But the front row could be full of devils. And I believe you could go in and say, slide over devils, I've come to worship Jesus. If your heart's right with God, I believe you could worship him. Not be preoccupied with all the devils in the house. Matter of fact, the Sunday morning I got saved, June the 29th or June the 30th, 1974, whichever it was, 1974, when I got saved by the grace of God, there's other sinners in the house, but I never knew one of them. I knew them, but I wasn't thinking about them. I wasn't thinking if I was better or worse than they were. In my mind, I was the sinner that Christ was dealing with that morning. I was the sinner that was on my way to hell and headed there quickly. Amen. By the grace of God, he saved me. Amen. I believe that's how he does with people. When we come in, we ought to come in to worship him. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll just say, don't get caught up in all the trappings of the church and miss giving the Lord a kiss. Jesus mentioned in this parable, let's look at it again. Let me get back over there. Luke, I done turned my page. Luke 7, verse 44. He turned to the woman. Now he's been talking to Simon. He asked Simon a question and got Simon's answer. And then he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? He didn't say, she entered into thy house. He said, I entered into thy house. Because he wanted him to get his eyes off of just that woman and get his eyes on the Savior. Amen. I entered into thy house. Notice this. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Here's the idea. In that custom, a man would come in, his feet would be dirty, he's walking with sandals, he's walking in the dust, and he would come to a person's house, and first thing they'd do was meet them at the door with a basin of water to wash their feet. They would greet them with a kiss. That's one of the first things they do. I'm going to tell you, listen, God don't just want our leftovers. He wants our firsts. He wants to be first in priority. Amen. He wants to be first in our attention. He wants to be first in our worship. I really believe he wants the first fruits. That's why we give tithes on the first day of the week. We give the first 10%. Amen. We don't give him what's left over. We don't give him 10% of the net. You know, whatever. If I got money left over from groceries, then I'll give you 10% of whatever's left over. No, that's not how we do it. We give them first, the tenth of the first. We give them the first fruits. We give them the best. Amen. How about when we get up in the morning, first thing, what should we do? We ought to give him our heart. Amen. First, we ought to kiss him. Early, we ought to kiss him. Amen. Amen. So, Point number one, worship him in spirit, not in works only. You don't have to turn, but in Revelation chapter 5, there's a beautiful picture of the worship service going on in heaven. You know the story. Chapters 2 and 3 deal with the church. Chapter 4, he hears a voice saying, come up hither. We believe that deals with the rapture. And chapter 5, you've got the worship service that John sees in heaven. When the Lamb stood up beside the throne, you know what the Bible said? There was innumerable angels, multitudes, thousands upon thousands of angels, innumerable angels. You know what they did? They bowed before the Lamb.
Yes. Amen.
And they don't know one thing about forgiveness. They don't know one thing about being redeemed. And yet their allegiance is to Him. He's the one they give glory to. He's the one they honor. Amen. Then you got the 24 elders, they bowed. They cast their crowns at His feet. You got the four beasts, they bowed. And they gave reverence and they gave honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my point. Here's what He said in John chapter number 4. He said, He seeketh such to worship Him. Such what? Such debtors. Amen. If you remember you owed a debt, you're the one He's looking for to worship Him. Amen. He's looking for such debtors. He's looking for such forgiven debtors. Those that have been forgiven much. He wants them to worship Him much. Amen. He wants us to worship Him. He seeketh such to worship Him. Now, my last point. Turn to John chapter number 21. He said worship Him in truth. And I say not in word only. Worship Him in spirit is not in works only. Worship Him in truth is not in word only. How do you know somebody loves you? Jesus said, if you love me, what did He say? Keep my commandments. Right. Every now and then I'll say that to my wife. Every now and then she'll say that to me. If you love me, keep my commandments. We say that to our children. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. John chapter number 21, Jesus is talking to Peter in verse 15 through 17. And He's asking Peter some questions. He asks it three times. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because He said unto him again the third time, lovest thou me? And He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Amen. Notice the order of it. Jesus didn't say, Peter, are you willing to work for me? No, He said, do you love me? He didn't say, Peter, are you willing to die for me? Peter had already pledged that he'd die for him, but he didn't. Matter of fact, when he got a chance just to say a good word for him, he didn't. How many times have we done that, by the way? Before you fuss at Peter too much. We've said, Lord, I'll die for you. Well, I'm telling you, if they come in here and come in with guns and say you can't worship, I'll say I'm going to worship anyhow. And you don't even talk to your neighbor about the Lord. I mean, the Lord nudges you and says, you want to say something about the Lord right here? And we don't. Amen. We do like Peter did. So the Lord says, I want your heart. Your heart's got to be first. Your heart's got to be first. Lovest thou me. But He not only wants us to give Jesus our heart, He wants us to give Him our spirit. Love Him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to worship Jesus by proving it. Proving our love for Him. Here's this woman that came in with that alabaster box. Listen, all that she did, breaking that alabaster box didn't save her. Washing our Lord's feet didn't save her. Kissing His feet didn't save her. He wasn't asking that Pharisee to wash His feet. He wasn't asking that Pharisee to kiss His feet. He wasn't asking that Pharisee to bring out an alabaster box. And all He was saying was, she loved me, and she proved it. She proved it. by our actions. He's wanting that Pharisee to love him. He don't even love him yet, let alone show it in works. He's done all kinds of works, but he don't have the love. He's saying to him, you ought to have both. Amen. You ought to have the love and the works. Some people think that if they just think enough good thoughts about Jesus, they have some kind of warm, fuzzy feelings that they don't have to do anything for God. Maybe that takes the place of going to church. You know, I worship the Lord. I worship God on the creek bank, same as I can in the church house. And you may be able to do that, but them other fishermen think you're out there fishing like they are. And it's an appearance of evil, by the way. Amen. Truth is, if you loved him in your heart like you say you do, you probably would be in the house of God. That's where his people gather. Amen. That's where his children meet. Amen. So he doesn't just want us thinking these warm, fuzzy thoughts, feeling these warm, fuzzy feelings. He wants us to actually show him by our actions. He wanted Peter to love him, but he also wanted Peter to walk with him. And he wanted Peter to work for him. Amen. He's wanting us to walk with him. He's wanting us to work for him. Amen. The love has to come before the work. Has to. By the way, one of the things Chick-fil-A teaches their people, and I'm sure you've noticed this, when you say to them, you say, thank you, they almost never say, you're welcome. They say, my pleasure. Is because when you say, you're welcome, you're thrusting it back on them. But when you say, my pleasure, you say, I was glad to do it. Now, I don't know if all them ragheads are really glad to do it. Right? I mean, you got these, I say, right, you know, mop heads, these young kids in there worshiping. You got all this crowd, I mean, working, not worshiping, working. You got all this crowd in there, and a lot of them, they're just there for a paycheck. But Chick-fil-A wants them to know, you need to enjoy what you're doing. Because if you enjoy what you're doing, it's not a strain on you to do it.
Amen.
Amen. You've heard me tell it before, that as a young preacher, I went and heard Brother Buren Hastings preach a revival at a church down the road from us. He preached every night. I was there all but Tuesday. Tuesday was our church service, and I got the tapes. Every single night he preached on worship, and he made this statement. Worship takes the strain out of service. That is dead right. Amen. Love gives. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. What happened? That he gave his only begotten son. Love gives. It's exactly what it does. Love gives. Amen. So he wants us to love first. But that love is proven by our actions. By the way, amen, if you and I would take time to drop down on our knees and look to Jesus, recognize him as high and lifted up like Isaiah did, we'd hear him say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? We'd hear him have something for us to do if we would fall on our knees and worship him. Amen. If we'd fall down on our knees and worship him, giving a tithe ain't hard when you love him. By the way, you'll spend money for what you love. Right? Yeah. If we love him like we ought to, witnessing to somebody else won't be so hard. Because you talk about what you really love. Amen. If we really love him like we ought to love him, going to the house of God won't be so hard. Loving God's people won't be so hard. By the way, I said that about greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, and we don't kiss men because we're living in a perverted age, by the way. Right? After I'd preached this message there Friday night, and it wasn't exactly like this, but preached this thought Friday night down there, Brother Herbert Williamson came by me, and he leaned up against me, and he said, you got to be close to give a kiss. And he kissed me on the cheek right there. I didn't think, what's wrong with that fella? And by the way, I didn't go in the bathroom and check and see if I had lipstick on my cheek. Because real men don't wear lipsticks. Amen right there.
Amen.
Anyway. But my point was this. You can love God's people when you love God like you're supposed to. If you love Jesus, don't you think you love his body? I mean, just ask yourself. People say, well, I love the Lord, I just don't like church. Well, what's wrong with the church? It's the body of Christ. Amen. I heard Brother Rufus Edmondson say one time, this makes sense too. He said, how can you be in Christ and out of church? Amen. If you're in Christ, you ought to want to be in His body. You ought to want to be in His group of people. And you, but here's my thought. You love people that love the things you love. Yeah. If you got a favorite ball team, you like people that like that team. Right? Even if they're losers. Because you got things in common. And that's what He wants us to do here in the house of God. Now, I'm closing with this. I'll have them come. Get us an invitation song. And while they're coming, I want to just ask you, how is it with you today? Do you love Christ like you should? Have you kissed Him today? Have you talked to Him today? Have you worshiped Him? Relished Him? Given glory to Him? Are we too busy to give Him a kiss? Or maybe it's this. Maybe we think we're too big to give Him a kiss. You know, kids get to a point, especially maybe they get to be teenagers, boys don't like to kiss their mother anymore. They think they're too big. Amen. Girls don't even like to kiss their mother. They think they're too big. There ought to be a love and a relationship. If you think you're too big to kiss the Lord, you're too big. Amen. Need to be brought down to the point that you can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God as I've tried to preach it this morning. Thank You for the liberty that You gave me to do that. Lord, I pray that something I've said has been good seed that fell on good soil. Lord, that it bring forth a harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, You dealt with my heart about my affection to You. You dealt with my heart about my adoration of You. Lord, help us as individuals to give the Lord a kiss. Help us to adore You. Help us to love You. Help us to admire You. Help us to appreciate You. And Lord, help us to praise You and glorify You. And if there be one here this morning unsaved, Lord, I pray let them recognize there's a creditor in the house. There's more than one debtor in the house. And that great creditor can, frankly, forgive them both. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to sing. If the Lord spoke to you, would you mind the Lord?